ever heard of. I was like, what you want? Point to it. So I was pouring up drinks. I stayed for an extra 2 hours and poured up drinks, and I made $900 in tips.
In just those 2 hours?
2 hours. $900 in tips.
That's good money. So, that's why the other people was pissed off at you.
Man, yeah.
I wasn't supposed to come back, but listen, I was going to see what went down. And so that was like,
So what was some of the tea that went on? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so this is the tea. So after
was it some girls that had to jump in their jeans? Did they come through? Like, what happened?
Well, what happened is that there were a couple girls that stayed upstairs that were bartending. And these were like the hot girls of the group. But I was like, why do you even ask me to stay? Like, but okay.
Girl.
Well, you know those girls, like, they knew where they were coming. They were ready.
Yeah, they know why they was there.
They knew. You know what I'm saying? They were ready.
They only had one night of town. Exactly. Break down the big clown, baby dollar. You down?
Well,
folks came to that party because they got around.
What happened is that they encourage you to take shots with them and drink and everything. But, like, of course, if you bartending, you can't really take every shot. Or you got to pretend to do it or not really do it. So I wasn't really taking all the shots. They were encouraging me. But shorties upstairs were. So they got, like, carted out, passed out. I was like, wouldn't be me. Yeah. So I'm going upstairs, and I was like, all right, who do I tell that I'm leaving? You know what I mean? Because most people had kind of left, and some people had kind of migrated upstairs. We're just kind of people kind of laying around drunk, chit-chatting. It was a very, just like a chill scene in the kitchen. So I'm standing around. I'm like, who do I tell that I'm leaving? Like, do I say something or whatever? So then this I hear this male's voice is like, hey, sweetie, what you looking for? Who you looking for? And I was like, I don't know. I was in the basement bartending, and I just, ooh. Morris Chestnut.
Shut up. Oh, girl, wait.
Listen. This is where the story gets good.
Oh, my God.
I never saw him the whole time. Never knew he was there, right? He was there. And so I was like, I can't breathe.
I would have passed out right then and there.
But, you know, everybody's looking at me like, who are you looking for, shorty? You know, there's a lot of women up there. There was a couple sitting around him that he was chit-chatting with. You know, they trying to shoot their shots.
I would have jumped out. No, never mind.
So I tell him I was with the catering company. I was bartending downstairs or whatever. Like, I was going to tell somebody that I was leaving. And he was like, hey, do y'all have some more of those cookies? I was like, what? He was like, the cookies that y'all brought. I was like, I don't know. I've been in the basement the whole time. So he was like, oh, I think I see him over there on the counter. And he was like, come with me to get some. Like, come with you to get some cookies. Okay. So we go.
I could go so many places with that.
Right, yeah.
You know, this is a PG show.
Not those kinds of cookies.
Keep it on me. That Erica jumping out of her seat over here.
I'm jumping out of my jeans.
She jumped out of her damn jeans. She didn't jump in. Erica said she didn't went to the party. She didn't want some snap-on jeans.
She's already rewriting the story.
Oh my God.
No genuine, okay. Baby. I'm out of these jeans.
Whatever. I got on a catering uniform. You know, I'm not trying to jump out the slacks. And my button down. Like,
oh, man.
So we go over to the cookies, and we're just standing there, like, eating cookies. You know, I had been drinking. He been drinking. We, you know, we're just kind of eating cookies. And he's just talking, like, just so normal and regular that, like, it started to slip my mind that he's, like, famous. You know, he was just so cool. Also, he's pretty tall, too.
Yeah, you can kind of tell that, though.
Yeah, I think he kind of looks short on TV, but he was pretty tall, too. Looks just like TV. Perfect skin, perfect teeth, perfect voice, like, perfect specimen of a person, and so super cool. So we're standing there eating the cookies. So we go back down. All the girls that he were talking to are just sitting there like, is he coming back? Like, why is he over there with the help?
The help.
But I felt like he wanted, just, you know, he was like, welcome to distraction. So we're standing over eating cookies and just talking.
Exactly. Hold on, James Brown and chicken.
James Brown cookies.
Morris Chestnut and cookies.
So then, of course, you
a
know.
A recipe for celebrity.
Listen, I have another story about Cisco and some chicken wings.
Hey, let's talk about, since we speak about, you know, people jumping in their jeans. Let's talk about the thong man. You know, what's going on?
I got to finish about
the finish the cookies, the double tree cookies.
This is when it got super fun. So, like, we were thirsty from eating the cookies and whatever. He was like, so let's get something to drink. And I was like, all right, I don't see any water out. And he's like, go look in the refrigerator and see if you see something. I was like, I'm not going in Ray Lewis's refrigerator. You look. He was like, I'm not going in that man's refrigerator. I was like, you're famous. He's not going to do anything to you. So he's like, let's go together. I'm like, okay. So he grabs my arm and pulls me down to the floor and goes, So we're like crouching down and just like going around the island.
Are you serious?
He's like rolling on the floor, jumping up, looking around just to go to the refrigerator.
Opening those damn cookies. That's what I want to know.
That's what I'm thinking. It was a long night of shots. I could hardly keep myself together.
Morris,
I was like, is this happening? Is this really happening? Nobody's going to believe this. I was like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I don't have my phone. So anyway, I went to go get my phone because I was like, oh, we're done. I went and got my phone, and I called my aunt because by then it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. I was living with her. I was like, I should probably let her know, like, I'm good. So I called, and she's like, is it over? I'm like, yeah, a couple hours ago. What are you doing? She was like, oh, I'm just sitting here eating cookies with Morris Chestnut. She was like, girl, don't do that. I was like, would I call you at 5 o'clock in the morning playing on the phone lying about eating cookies with Morris Chestnut? And she was like, I don't know. I was like, Morris, stop to her. He's like, how you doing?
Oh, wow.
She's like, whatever, stop playing. I was like, it really is him. Think about where I'm at. I'm at Ray Lewis's house still. This is really Morris Chestnut. She woke up like that. She was like, do you remember me from like 4 or 5 years ago? At this book signing. He was like,
yeah, no.
I probably don't, but I really appreciate you being here. So it was great. So eventually, you know, I kind of packed up and left and went on back. But I was like, all this happened. I can't even tell anybody at work.
Right, right.
What happened, because I wasn't supposed to stay. So it's just like one of those stories that I keep with me and tell my friends about.
That's
but
a dope
story.
This
is the first time I've like, just like told people that. Because like, who believes that? You prank calling people at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and rolling on the floor in Ray Lewis's house for Chestnut.
Sneaking in the refrigerator, eating cookies.
So, you know, the women over there are like,
go get the cookies and shit.
Not that he said, dun, dun, dun.
And, you know, he pulled me down. I was like, oh, God, what's happening? But I went with it because when Morris Chestnut wants you to play 007, you play 007
right,
and
yeah.
Ray Lewis is catching.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't played all night.
Shout out to Morris Chestnut.
Yeah.
I hope you don't remember that by now, but I do because it was the best day ever.
So let's talk about Mr. Thong Man himself.
Who is Mr. Thong Man?
Cisco.
What's going on with him?
Oh, I did like a lot of radio. It wasn't anything big. But I did like, it was kind of like the James Brown thing, just like going in on the chicken. Like when I tell you, you can put a wing in his mouth and spit out bones.
Hey, this is a PG-13 show here.
It's the truth.
We're
though.
Not talking about how men
hey,
eat chicken
wings.
But he
writes songs. Like, thong, 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 thong.
And which I'm very Come indebted on. To Cisco for making that song. You know, that's what.
So, yeah, they came into town. You know, I was an intern at the radio station. By then, you know, they trusted me to, like, escort them places, you know, celebrities' places, be kind of like their concierge kind of thing.
Okay.
And so, man, like, how many baskets of wings can you eat, bro?
All right, so, man, those some fun stories right there. You know, you got James Brown coming to the house, 007 with Chestnut himself and Cisco. Apparently know how to clean. Let me be quiet. So what is which celebrity that you thought was cool as hell that you wanted to work with, then you realize he or she is a flat out jerk?
Jay-Z.
Talk
wow,
to me.
Wow, yeah. Are you serious? I had like the biggest crush on him. So don't ruin the
Three
crush.
Three encounters with Jay-Z, and he is like the most unpleasant person.
Oh wow.
Ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, wow. This is the first time, you know, I've heard this on many occasions.
Yeah.
Really? I haven't heard this, so tell me about it.
One instance, he was super late for a show and had ordered all the seafood, which was beyond the budget for what they could do, but they made it happen, was super duper late, got there and was like, yeah, I'm not eating 3-hour-old seafood, throw all this away and go to Crystal Burger.
What?
So thousands and thousands of dollars of seafood in the garbage because he was late and decided that he was afraid to eat it and sent us to Crystal Burger.
But he ate Crystal?
Yeah.
I ain't definitely taking an L for that. White Castle's all day.
Yeah. What you said? Yeah.
We don't eat crystals.
Yeah.
The hell?
Like, we couldn't eat
he
the
might
seafood.
As well ate the seafood.
Might as well eat the seafood. You eat the
stomach up.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what happened. Another time we had an encounter with him, came to the radio station, and that was like a... Like, all Rockefeller came mm-hmm. that time. And so, like, so the rest of them were dope. The ones that I expected to not be friendly were the best.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't... So, the radio station was kind of in an urban neighborhood. So lots of times, you know, the kids would listen and they would come stand outside, you know, by the road and want to wave to the artist. Most of them go over there, at least wave and say, hey, take a picture, do a couple autographs. And like Jay-Z wouldn't wave. He wouldn't say hi. He wouldn't sign anything. We had let this autistic guy come up there who did this beautiful sketch, a pencil sketch of him. And he wanted to give it to him and he would not take it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like you could take it and just throw it on the ground. Like he was so hurt. You
can't throw it on the ground.
Just like you just don't do that to you don't do that to people.
No,
and it
you
was
don't.
A kid.
That is so crazy.
You know what I mean? And
I had an encounter like that, like with Busta Rhymes, and I stopped listening to his music. Like, so I had a group.
Well, Allen Iverson did that to me, but I wasn't a kid. Like, I was grown.
I was 17, and we had a group called Ashe. Hey, Jackie, if you're watching.
Hey, Ashe.
Jackie was our manager. And so, like, we had went to Atlanta. And we were, you know, walking up to stars at the mall and, you know, singing to them. So, like, Busta was there. He had a concert that night. And he's, you know, walking in, getting ready to shop to get him something to wear for the concert. And so we just walk up to him. It's like, hey, how are you? Can we sing to you? And he turned around and goes, look, I don't have the time. And then we was like, okay, damn. Like, all you had to do was say, you know, like, I'm getting ready for the concert.
They don't have to do that. And yeah. I understand that they get approached a lot or whatever. But, right. Like, man, you just don't have to kill somebody's joy. Yeah. I approached Kanye West before, and he was super humble and pleasant and was like, I tried to give him one of my client CDs. And he was like, listen, I'm so sorry, but I can't take this from you. And even if I do, and other people see it, I'm going to get bombarded. Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind, can I please not do this?
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely. Thank you so
And that's
much.
Respectful.
And I walked away.
Why Clef listened to
I put it under
us.
His jacket later when he wasn't looking.
Yeah. So they put it in his jacket.
Under his jacket on the
Shout
couch.
Out to the homie, Yay.
Shout out to Yay.
Yeah.
That was a super duper long time ago. That was at his birthday party. Oh yeah, I went to Kanye West's birthday party. And guess what? It was wall to wall Hennessy. That was the only thing that you could get in there.
Oh wow.
That's a side town staple, right?
I would have been so
It's the only thing you could get.
Orange juice all day long. So yeah. I'm not surprised at all.
I was surprised by that. I didn't know he got down with the hen dog, but that was my jam. I'll tell you a couple stories
about Kanye, but this is about you.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you do now.
Sure.
And how, you know, entrepreneurs can utilize your services today. Like, at what stage does entrepreneurs or motivational speakers or artists need to actually start thinking about bringing on a celebrity publicist?
Can they afford you?
Yeah. So good. I'm going to answer all those things. So a couple years ago, I walked out of like the 9-to-5 kind of thing. I was working in nonprofit. I was doing a lot of kind of like side work for a lot of the local black-owned businesses in Rutherford County. I was really loving that. People were really loving me. I felt really appreciated, and like I felt like I was, you know, doing something, getting somewhere. And it got to be to where like my real job was like impeding what I was trying to do otherwise. And so it just came to a point where I was like, all right, I need to make a decision. Am I going to like step out on faith and, you know, help my people, or am I going to stay here until what? And so, you know, sometimes, you know, when you ask God for a sign, he gives you 7,000. Mm-hmm. And just one day I was like, okay, I'm done. And I just packed my stuff up piece by piece. I put a box in the car, come back, sit down, pack up another box, put it in the car. And at the end of the day, I'm like, guess what? I'm out. Mm-hmm. They were like, what? I was like, look at my desk. It's empty. Look at my walls. Nothing. Look in the file cabinets. There's nothing in there. This is not a joke.
Yeah.
So they were like, we'll give you 2 weeks to think about it. And if you want to come back, I was like, yeah, that's not necessary. So the next day they accepted my resignation. But anyway, I just started helping out more of the local black-owned businesses, getting, like, marketing and things together. And what happened is I got super overwhelmed, you know, and it was just so many people and so many things, and I couldn't do it all. And I was like, all right, now how can I help people in, like, a one-to-many kind of way with, like, basic marketing and business structure? I found that it was a lot of people just didn't have basic things, you know. You can't bring me in as a publicist and you just don't have like the foundational work, because mm-hmm. what'll happen is that you'll start to get lots of attention or orders or whatnot, and you're not going to be able to handle it, and you're going to go right under. So it can be a kind of sabotage thing. So, you know, I was trying to help people get to where they needed to be, to where they could work with me in the capacity where they wanted too. And I was like, how could I do that in a one-to-many kind of capacity? So I tried a couple things like, you know, free trainings and peer programs. And I was, you know, I just tried it, like a gamut of things. And, you know, with entrepreneurship, so you just got to put some stuff together and see if it works. And if it doesn't, you go back to the drawing board. Right. And, like, I'm committed to going back to the drawing board. Like, I'll figure something out.
Yeah.
And so what I found is that people needed the basics, the foundations. And so I partnered with Corner to Corner in Nashville to kind of franchise the Academy program and brought it to Rutherford County. So this year we had our very first one. And so that is kind of like, that has been my answer to people who are interested in working with me at some point. Or, you know, just doing anything, scaling to get the basics done, to get the basics foundation if you're new, to fill in the holes and the gaps if you're already in business, but you want to be able to scale.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a done thing. And so we had our first one. Erica was one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
So we really appreciated that. And you saw
you're
we
welcome.
Really came together. We had mm-hmm. like 18 students that started out. And then, you know, we had the tornado. Then we had coronavirus. So we ended up graduating 12, but I think we were still the largest out of the 7 cohorts, like, as far as in size.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience.
Especially, like, to be your first class.
Yeah.
Having to pivot in the middle of that and going virtual and still retained more than half of the original class. So, like, that's...
What I found was that teaching virtually was my jam. Like, so fun. So fun. But I've had lots of virtual jobs, and I kind of knew how to do that culture. I used to work from Apple from home, mm-hmm. and, you know, they used to do all kinds of cool things with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of knew how to create that community to kind of make it feel more, you know, personable. And so the students really liked it, and we were able to, you know, get most people to be able to hang in there. But some people, they just like the in-person kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so they'll be coming back around, you know, for the next time that we're in person. We're not sure when.
When is the next Corner to Corner?
It starts in the fall. I'm not sure the exact date.
Like September, October?
Yeah, around that time.
And what's some of the courses that's taught in Corner to Corner?
In the Academy?
In an Academy, yeah.
Yes. In the Academy, we have, it's 10 weeks, and about 9 of those weeks, we go over different things like, you know, how you want to structure your business, if you want to be an LLC, which I think a lot of people default to, but you should really check out S-Corp, because when I really did it, I was more as S-Corp than an LLC, and I think a lot of people are too. But when you have somebody who can break it down for you and ask you specific questions, you know, we're small enough that we can do one-on-ones. And so it teaches you about structure. It teaches you a lot about, like, money and your bottom line. A big lesson that we, our students really loved was about pricing. You know, people decide, how do we price? How do you price?
Mm-hmm.
And so lots of times people price by what you think that somebody is going to pay. And I'm like, that's the exact wrong way to price it. How much time did you take? How much materials? You know, what's the going
Everything
rate?
Goes into
Cause
your
if
price,
you charge
right.
too little, like, you could be throwing off your whole industry because you're so cheap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that and how to counter that. You know, when people ask you for discounts, if you do the math, you know how much of a discount you can give somebody before you are messing yourself
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, then you are able to articulate why you can't give them a discount. You know, and they understand. And I say, before you give a discount, discount your services. If you want a dozen cupcakes and it's $20 and you only have 10, well, guess what? You can get 6. I'll do that for you, you know, or I'll do 10 if you can't afford a dozen. You know, just try to don't
discount your services.
Don't discount your money.
Ooh, she just dropped a mean nugget on that one. That was a mean gem.
Don't
hope somebody picked it up.
That's the last thing.
For sure.
Because
you'll
discount yourself, like, out of business, you know.
Been there, done that. Yep.
And so it just goes over a whole lot of things. But now that the Academy, it's the Academy powered by Modern Noir. So while that is running, I can focus more on getting back to the publicity and the PR type things that I like to teach people. And I don't do it so much for people. Well, that's what I'm trying to move away from, because I keep creating a job for myself. You know, I got to clock in. I got to be here. I'm on a deadline. And I don't like that. I want to be an entrepreneur so I can move like how I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've done is I've limited the number of one-on-one clients that I have that I do my PR for. And I usually do those with my top paying clients. Okay. So I can have 3 top paying clients that, you know, match the amount of small, you know, little projects and things that I do. So I stopped doing so many projects and so many small kind of things, and I have like my 3 core clients. But then I wanted to, how can I service other people, small businesses who really need me, who are really great and stand out, but can't afford me? Because at minimum, you'll pay $2,500 a month
mm-hmm.
for a PR agency. And I'm not even talking about like someone in a sky rise. I'm talking about like a small business.
Yeah.
Person.
And PR
that
is just a
minimum.
Yeah. And PR is just a part of your marketing strategy. It's not even the marketing
strategy.
So, yeah.
It's just a part of it. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of it.
And it's expensive.
It's very expensive. And most people who wanted to work with me, or I wanted to work with them, like couldn't afford me legit, like straight out. But then what do? Do I just discount my services and throw off the industry? But what it is, it's a lot of work. And so I've tried discounting like the money, and you know, that'll make you bitter at the end of the day because you're working 5,000 hours on this project to get it done, but you've already set this rate and that's just what it is, you know. You get into it and it's a whole lot more than you thought, or the person is difficult and it isn't worth the money
right,
anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you keep running into issues like that. And so what I came up with was like a publicist share program, you know, like a nanny share. You share a nanny and share the costs and expenses. So I was like, what if people could share me and share the cost? So, because again, I'll try to figure out how to work with people in a one-to-many kind of way. How can just me work with a lot of people and everybody get some? So I was like, what if I just teach people kind of like, not even the basics, not even the fundamentals, the theory, exactly what to do to get this.
Yeah.
Do this, do this, do this, and this is what's going to happen, you know? And so that's what I've been working on doing.
Are you breaking them down in courses or?
I'm not even doing courses right now because I keep wanting to do that. A lot of times we jump ahead and I'm like, all right, I'm going to make a course. And I've done it before. And then I show people the course and they're like, I don't get it. It's too much. Like, I don't understand. So this time I'm backing up from a lot of things that I was doing, and I've created a group on Facebook called I Need a Publicist with Taisha Bradley. Because what I don't want to do is spend more time building what I think people need and want, and they're like, I don't want that, you know? And so this is an opportunity for me to work with people that I've really wanted to work with for a long time. But you know how we get in that perfection thing? You're like, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. You know, I want to come correct. Well, I'm a Virgo, and it's never going
to
be correct.
Shout out to the Virgos. When your birthday? You're August or September Virgo?
September 13th.
September 5th
baby.
Over here. All yes, right. Sir.
My sister's birthday is September 13th.
Birthday 20.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yes.
Her son's birthday is tomorrow, and my son's birthday was today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then now her birthday is on my sister's birthday.
Yay.
Synergy.
Yeah.
Come on, synergy. Yeah. Virgo.
So, like, one thing I've noticed, like, with working with the marketing team that we have is, so they don't necessarily do the PR, but they've been kind of trying to teach us how to do it. And so, like, they've built spreadsheets for us to basically make our dream list of publications that we want to be in, create, like, a document of the contacts for those publications.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like going ahead and creating like pitch articles that we can like send out to the different.
That's exactly what you should be doing. Yes, that's exactly what you should be doing. The ways that I approach it by visibility. Do people see you? Do they know who you are? What's your branding look like? When I see your branding, do I automatically know it's you? If I've sent in the media your way and they go to your website, is it jank? Are your graphics funny looking? Because guess what? I'm not going to be sending the media your way if you look sketchy, because it makes me look sketchy. Because being a publicist, I have the relationships with the media. You know, I can make a call. I can send an email. Hey, girl, it's me. Listen, I got this person for you. I think you would really like this. But if I start sending over crazy stuff, I'm going to start getting ignored. And they're going to be like, she sent me crazy stuff.
Spam.
So it's super important that you know, you have the look, that visibility. You know, that goes a long way. Mm-hmm. There could be a fantastic event. But if the flyer is sketchy, we're going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you can have a nice flyer in a sketchy event, too. So, you know. But
I'd rather
about
have
the
a nice flyer.
Right, the way that things look, so the visibility, and then also the credibility. You know what you're talking about. Your clients know what you're talking about, but does the media know? Does the people in general? So we started to build up your credibility, you know, making you as the go-to resource. And then once you have that visibility, people know who you are, you know, and you're looking good, and you have the credibility, people know that you know what you're talking about, and you can give good advice, then you go with the authority, because now you're that boss. You got the juice.
Right.
So at that point, would you become the authority in your industry on that topic, and what do you do with that authority? You use that for your platforms. You use that to get onto other people's platforms. You use that authority to share your messages, to share whatever you're sharing, because you have the people's attention by then. So visibility, credibility, and authority are the things that I help focus on. And so not just even pitching, because it goes beyond pitching. I think pitching is the easy part. I also help people learn how to create their own graphics and designs, because I do so much for people. And oftentimes you can do them yourself. So I teach Canva. in my group as well, teaching you how to make different designs and things that you need. Make your own flyers for events if necessary. When you're coming on a podcast show, make your own flyer, if there's not one, and post it. You know, make your own Facebook event and make you a nice little header and post it. Like, there's just
sound so like
much
I'm about to be in your group.
You should be. You should be in my group. Erica's in there. Yeah. So, yes, I'll be doing that. I also do Wix websites, and I'm on track to be a certified Wix expert.
You like Wix? Yeah. A lot of people got something against Wix.
They do. And so Wix is limited in some ways, but I really like it for small businesses, entrepreneurs, especially people who are not really tech savvy.
Yeah.
It's really forgiving. But if if you're into coding and all that fly stuff, you probably want to do something else.
Simply because you want to be able to own your information. That's like with Wix, you don't. But Wix is a great platform for taking the excuse away for why you don't have a website.
It's very easy entry. Mm-hmm. And there are some coding and things that you could do if you are a higher, kind of designer. They do have coding options. But I teach Wix as well. So I can teach you how to build your own website, how to update your own website when you're going to be featured on places, how to post your own events on your website. When you get media coverage, how to set up that press page and go post your own stuff. Because, a lot of times people don't have money to keep paying somebody to do it. So I teach you how to do it like yourself. You can do it. It's fine. Or you can pay me to do it. But why? Yeah. When it's something you can do yourself. And then I teach, I do Wix, Canva, and, what's my other main one? Wix, Canva, something else. I can't think of it right now. But I'm going to be, teaching those things in the group. And so the information that I share in the group is free. And if you want to work with me on one-on-one or you want like your own plan, then you can have a consultation with me and that'll be an expense. But it's super affordable and I always leave people with actionable things. Because, I've paid people to kind of help me with something and we just get on the phone and talk for an hour and I don't feel like anything happened. I'm not that person. I'm going to leave you with some stuff to do. We're going to do some stuff while we're on the phone. We're going to get on my screen share and I'm going to show you and I'm going to walk you through things. Yeah. Because PR is things that you can definitely start for yourself. And who else to manage your own presence besides you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of work. I can tell you that. It is a lot of work.
If you streamline, it becomes second nature. Mm-hmm. It's always be pitching. Always be looking for an opportunity. Always be listening for messages and keywords and things. And so sometimes I go out pitching. You're like, go on pitching. Because when I pitch, I usually get like a lot of good return. And so I have to make sure that I have like the time and the resources, to set all those up. So I usually kind of pitch in like batches. So I'll do like some pitching for a week or two, maybe like every quarter, because it can get overwhelming. Last year, I did a pitch challenge where you pitched every day for 6 weeks. And I sent out over 100 pitches and it filled up my calendar for like the entire next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And not just
pitching media. I'm talking pitching anything, everybody, shooting your shot. Mm-hmm. Shoot your shot for 6 weeks every day and watch what'll happen. Your whole year will fill up.
So somebody sent me a challenge. I can't remember. Are you doing the pitch challenge right now?
Oh, I did the Essence Challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just did the Essence Challenge where we went into Canva. Well, first I showed the editorial calendar. I'm for Essence Magazine, and I broke it down to how you can use the editorial calendar to know what and when to pitch to Essence, by what's coming down the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And you could do that with any magazine, but I showed how to use the editorial calendar, and then I showed how to use Canva to create your own Essence cover, with your photo.
Yeah, okay.
For the Essence Challenge, which has gone viral, and then I also show how to upload that, download it into a video, and upload it up to TikTok, because TikTok is what's popping right now.
That's the move, for sure.
That's the move.
Well, we are out of time, so let's do the one word. What's your one word for our listeners today?
Virtual.
Tell us why.
Because we're not going back outside anytime soon. So if you've been waiting, for the other shoe to fall, like it's falling. And anything that you can do virtually, do virtually. I'm about to pivot. I had a whole lineup of events for 2020. I'm talking about I was supposed to do stuff with United Street Tours in Rutherford County. That's a huge deal. I'm supposed to do something with Ethiolicious that's here in Nashville. Just so many things. I was partnering with so many dynamic brands and organizations here to do things. But the first half of the year is kind of gone, so I'm regrouping, and I'll be doing some virtual reality type events that I'll be excited to announce through Modern Noir. Modern Noir is my publicity platform that I host events for, and then I use local entrepreneurs to staff for like all of my vending. I do showcases featuring entrepreneurs as well. And so I just take the money and just recirculate it back in. And so I really miss, you know, interacting with all the entrepreneurs. I really miss, you know, stimulating our local economy in that way and showcasing those black owned businesses. So I'm not laying down for the count. I'm going virtual reality on them.
That's what's up. That's good. Corey, you got last words?
Man, this
and benediction.
Man, this has been good. You know, I'm taking some tips as well, just listening to how you're dropping some gems. I hope our listeners pick it up. But hey, for those, my Facebook went down. We're trying to encourage people to check the radio show out live 6:30 a.m. Sunday, the recording rather, on 94.5. Please support us. Go to our Instagram, Tales from the Grind. That's really my last words. That's it.
Yeah, if you're not up at 6:30 in the morning, go to Apple and Google Play. Subscribe to the podcast.
I want folks to get up.
We want y'all
James
on
Brown,
podcast.
Get up, bro. Get on the hey, on wings again. Yeah.
Yeah, go to the podcast and subscribe it.
Apple.
Share it with your friends. And we are out.
We out, y'all. Peace.